This show is live and local. It's your local performance connection. On today's show, I'll be talking with the blind guitarist, singer, and songwriter Raoul Bidon. He's going to be doing a solo show at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts Thursday evening at 7:30 in the ballroom. It's their Cafe BCPA series. There'll be drinks and desserts provided along with your concert ticket. And we'll be hearing from his most recent albums called Synthesis and A World Within a World, sort of in reverse. Synthesis is the most recent, and World Within a World before that. This first tune comes from Synthesis. And as you will hear me correct myself, rather he will correct me later, this is not a tune by Bidon himself, but it's Paul McCartney's Blackbird.
Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly. You've been only waiting for this moment to rise. To arise.
It was a tune called Blackbird from the 2009 album called Synthesis by Raoul Bidon. Raoul wrote the music as well as, of course, doing the vocals and guitar, and fairly light backing ensemble with him. There's quite a variety of music on this particular CD. He's going to be at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts on Thursday at 7:30. Actually, it's going to be presented in the ballroom, so you have a chance for drinks and desserts as well, and he's with me on the phone right now. Thanks very much for joining us.
Hi, great, thank you. And just as a little point, of course, Blackbird, I mean, everybody knows I didn't write that, right?
Oh, is that, I thought I would look through there.
And, yeah, Blackbird is the one tune I didn't write. It's, of course, a Paul McCartney song.
Oh, it's that Blackbird.
All yeah, right. So just as a point, so somebody doesn't call you up and say, he didn't write that, he's lying.
Well, you know, and I should probably know what Paul McCartney wrote. He wrote so many songs, so
yes.
I can be forgiven, right?
Yep.
Anyway, you did it beautifully.
Thank you.
And sorry to credit you with one of his tunes.
But hey, you know, I'd love to have written it, I just didn't.
Well, most of what you record, you have written.
That's correct, yes.
And when did you start writing? I mean, I might ask you a little bit of when you started doing music, but when did you start writing songs? And what got you into that?
I guess I came to it a little differently than some people. You know, I really started out as a musician and sort of interested in the guitar and in jazz. And I came to songwriting a little bit later. I think got interested in people like Joni Mitchell and Steely Dan, people that were a little bit more on the folk, but also on the jazz side of things. So I started realizing the power of songwriting along with interesting music, and that's sort of always been my goal. You know, I think there are some great songs that have been written that are very, very simple musically, and some of the greatest ones. But for me personally, I like a little bit of both in there, a little bit of musical challenge as well as, you know, songwriting. So I tend to gravitate to people like Paul Simon and Joni Mitchell and James Taylor and that sort of thing.
And I guess I wouldn't necessarily have guessed some of those that you named from listening to your music, because it's not only a mix of lyric styles, meaning of the lyrics, but also especially of musical styles.
Yes.
Most of which those guys don't necessarily represent, except maybe Paul Simon, who's
yeah, who Paul Simon. I mean, just in terms
across.
Of songwriting,
yeah.
You know, obviously Bob Dylan also. The musical styles comes from a lot of other, you know, Brazilian music, soul music, of course, you know, Stevie Wonder and Prince and people like that. Latin, very generic term, but, you know, music from Cuba and that kind of thing. You know, a song like Sitting in the Middle kind of has that, that's on State of Mind. There's a lot of sort of Latin influence throughout my music.
Well, we're going,
whether it's Brazilian or Argentinian or Cuban, or flamenco even.
Well, why don't we hear actually one of those that I've actually got a couple here that I've picked that are clearly Latin influence. Maybe we'll go back to the 2007 CD, A World Within a World, this one called Temberana. What does that name mean? It's mostly in English.
Temberana is a made-up word that came from a series of dreams I had when I was a little kid. And basically, I think it sort of comes down to my attempt to understand, you know, the world when I was like 4 or 5 years old. So Temberana were these beings that were sort of part of this whole land that I created, that were a kind of invisible energy. And so they were able to do things and have power, but they had no physical, you know, bodies. So that's the name that I came up with. The music is based on an Argentine rhythm called Carnavalito. So that boom, 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 boom. That's a rhythm that I first heard on a song called Carnavalito, which is an Argentine folk song.
Which you come by at least somewhat honestly, as your father is Argentinian.
Yeah, and the instrumentation, and it was sort of one of the cool things about living in New York. You know, you could actually find people that could play. There's a charango on there, which is a 10-string instrument from Bolivia, Colombia, Argentina. They all play the charango. And then there's also a wind instrument called quena, which is part of the sound of that kind of music, of Argentine folk music and also Bolivian. And I think something, a pretty famous tune that in which these instruments were used was actually a Paul Simon song. He used the tune of El Condor Pasa.
Yeah.
If I would, I truly would. I can't remember what the title of it is, but he used these instruments on that song.
I think that may be what they call it. I think they just may call it El Condor Pasa.
Could be.
Well, here's Temberana by Raul Midon, who will be at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts Thursday night. He's my guest on Live and Local, and this comes from his CD called A World Within a World.
A dream within a dream, a world within a world. The sound of a primal scream travels out across the land.
Temberana, the name of the tune. Raul Midon, this time for sure he's the composer and the lyricist, and does the vocals and the guitar work, and a band of five other folks backing him on this one. And you can hear him in Bloomington on Thursday night. Going back a little bit to the beginning, not all... There are sort of a remarkable number of musicians who are blind. Either they were born blind or they became blind at some point, and not all of them like to say anything about that or like to make it a point. And I don't know if you do or not, but I did on your website, in your bio, you do spend some time talking about that a little
sure.
bit. Does it, how did that, I mean, it had to have figured in your, the way you learned music early on and the way you experienced music early on, and still do, I guess.
I think for me, I think I was, you know, sort of born with the gift of music anyway. I have a feeling that I would have become a musician whether I was blind or not. You know, it's of course, impossible to know that, but I think that it does provide a certain focus. You know, you just have less data coming in as a blind person. And so I think you are less distracted. I also grew up in an age that was, I think, less distracted than today. But so I think it gave me that focus. And then sort of as I started to kind of come face to face with the idea of making a living with music, the backup plan never occurred to me. You know, this is what I do. So it wasn't like, well, I'll do this, or I'll be a waiter for a while, or I'll teach and see if I can, you know, as a backup. You know, that didn't occur to me, because as a blind person, you kind of have to choose your path a little bit more. You have to commit yourself a little bit more. Everything takes more time. So if you decide you're going to be a teacher and then hope that you get into music, you're never going to get into music except as a teacher. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I liked in your bio, you actually say here that the Midons don't believe in backup plans.
Yeah, right.
Has that proven to be true for others
in
your family?
Yeah, we never did the backup thing.
Well, and you have a twin brother, right?
Yeah.
Also blinded at birth, the same way.
Yeah.
Had to do with an unprotected incubator. I was talking to somebody in an interview on the show the other day about the idea, the process of music making, particularly when you're, as it happened, they were doing old-time music, and I was just observing them playing, and it seemed to me like they went into a trance where they were in this musical space. And I wonder if that's not partly what you're describing. There were, having been deprived of one of the major senses, you're in that space more than most people anyway.
Maybe. You know, I've always been hesitant to ascribe blindness to any kind of musical gift, because I think, you know, most of the really, really gifted musicians that I know can see. So I'm not sure how much that, as I said, I think the thing that blindness might do for you is sort of give you that, it narrows the possibilities. So if maybe you were a musician, but also you thought about being a pilot, you know, the pilot possibility is not there, so you just take the music. You know, I think you certainly go into that. I think I sort of go into that space anyway. when I'm not in music,
yeah.
I think I kind of, you know, it's very easy to sort of go into your head when you're blind.
Yeah.
You know, because you just don't have as much stuff coming in. You know, so if you're driving or somebody, if you're in a car or something, you're not looking out the window, you know. So you're in your head a lot more, I think.
You, I mentioned at the beginning, after we played Blackbird, that the CD that you from this which this comes, which is called Synthesis, as the CD title suggests, you do synthesize a lot of different stylistic types, and you suggest that perhaps some of this came from your father, and that he had such a diverse record collection.
Yeah, absolutely. We were big music listeners in our house, and it was sort of a serious endeavor. We would put a record on and sit and listen to it. It wasn't a thing that you put on in the background. I mean, we did have music in the background as well, but we were very serious music listeners. And my father had a very, very diverse record collection, which included a lot of contemporary classical music. We're talking stuff like John Cage and Stockhausen and Billings and Sinakis and Harry Parch. I mean, some really out there stuff. Schoenberg, Webern. And I think when you listen to that stuff as a kid, it doesn't occur to you that this is difficult listening. it just is is part of what you listen to, and I think it really opened up my ears to the possibilities of music. And it, for me, that's what it did.
What was the first type of music you started to perform?
I think, I was a, I loved all kinds of Latin music, sort of Mexican music, growing up in New Mexico. I loved the sort of, I was into Santana, and I was into the even stuff like Vicente Fernandez and the sort of Mexican, type music. So that was probably one of the first things. I got into jazz and other things later.
So did you just pick up a guitar and start imitating from recordings, or did you somebody ask you to be in a band, or did you start singing first?
I think I probably sang first, but I got lessons pretty early. My father owned a restaurant that had flamenco shows, and so my first lessons were with the guitarist that was on the show, so those were flamenco guitarists. So a lot of technical and exercise type things. It always kind of surprises me when I, talk to kids today and they learn songs. I was very much into technique and stuff before I, I started practicing scales and how to pick the guitar and all that when I was like 6 years old. And I was into sort of making up music right away. I didn't really write songs. I just kind of played, improvised. That was sort of something I did right away, as opposed to trying to learn something off the radio.
Yeah, because so many people who play jazz, as well as some of the other things that you play, at least I have heard that they typically do pick things up off of recordings of jazz artists or fellow bluegrass artists or whatever.
Absolutely.
Their style
and
may be.
I went through a stage much later, not when I was a kid, where I actually transcribed stuff directly. Like I would take it directly off the record. I transcribed some pretty, heavy-duty jazz stuff. I mean, I transcribed Lester Young on the guitar. I transcribed Louis Armstrong. I transcribed Charlie Parker. I transcribed Charlie Christian. And then even like guitar players on pop records, I would transcribe either their solos or just their rhythm, the way they played. I remember really getting into the song Hey 19. I think Hugh McCracken might be playing guitar on that. And just transcribing this everything that he plays. With all the little riffs that he plays, just to get an idea of how, someone like that was going through that song.
What you're describing actually reminds me a little bit, in a way, of the some of the really early classical composers like Bach and so on, where they would learn the technique of their instrument and maybe even the technique of composing, and later then they would be encouraged to copy out other great composers.
Yeah, and I did also go through a phase where I actually played classical guitar. So I played lute pieces, and I played Villalobos and Leo Brower, sort of the guitar literature. I don't think I played too much. I didn't get into it. I sort of always wanted to get into jazz, so I didn't get into the transcriptions as much. There's some incredible transcriptions of all kinds of composers now on guitar for classical music, but I did play a good amount of guitar, classical guitar literature.
Do you ever surprise folks at your shows with
one
of those tunes?
No, I got away from that, and it's hard. I mean, classical, any kind of classical music is hard, and you really, if you want to play it, you gotta You gotta. It's a harsh mistress. You have to work on it every day. Maybe some point. You know, I've always thought of trying to work up a Bach piece or something, but no, I wouldn't. I wouldn't pull that out unless I was really prepared.
Well, good for you. You said a lot of these things that you're saying. I'm thinking, boy, I hope some of my youth orchestra kids are listening, because the guy learned his scales early, and he, you know, he learned his technique, and he knows not to show up unprepared. And boy, this is great stuff here.
It allowed me to be able to do what I do now, which is to sing and play as independent. I don't know if you've seen any of my live shows, but you know, I can play and sing in two different keys, and I can play bongos and guitar at the same time, and you know, I can sing and play lines and all kinds of intervals, and all of that comes about because of sort of a freedom that comes through practicing the guitar. So that you can actually kind of split your brain into doing two or three things and not think about, and you know, sort of keep everything going.
Because you learn your technique so thoroughly, in part.
Yeah, I mean, there's a song on Synthesis, a reggae song. It's sort of hard to hear it on the record because there's so many people playing, but I actually play the bass line and it's like a reggae-inspired song. And I actually play the bass line and the chords at the same time when I play live.
And which tune is that one?
It's called Invisible Chains.
Yeah, there's a lot of wide variety of stuff on there.
Yeah.
why don't we hear some music? This is one that you mentioned to me before we started, opened up the microphone, that... Is a favorite of yours from your previous CD, A World Within a World, called Song for Sandra, where it's just you and the wonderful Paquito de Rivera.
Yes.
What's the story behind this song?
Well, this is one of those... this was a very difficult song for me to write. It's kind of a song about... I wanted to write about my mother. I lost my mother when I was 4 years old, and I've always felt like I got so much from her, even though I have vague memories. And so this was kind of one of those that I've been wanting to write for years, and it finally came out, and I just really, you know, if I could write songs at this level consistently, that would be a good thing, you know.
It's Raul Midon, his song called Song for Sandra from A World Within a World. He will be at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts Thursday night at 7:30, and he's my guest here on Live and Local.
I'm so happy. I'm so happy she's gone away. I do believe that. And I want to thank you for all you've given.
It's called Song for Sandra, Raul Midon, songwriter and also singing both lead and background vocals on this, and guitar, and then Paquito de Rivera on the clarinet solo here on Live and Local. You can hear him in Bloomington on Thursday night. Who are you bringing with you? Anybody for this show?
I'm playing solo.
You're doing solo?
Yep.
So that one was a little more representative in a way than
yep.
of what folks might hear, except Paquito de Rivera won't
yeah,
be along.
Yeah, it's kind of one of these things that I'm actually planning to do to release a live record this year of me playing solo, because it's sort of for whatever reason, you know, I have all these records with all these people on them, and then I do a lot of touring solo, particularly in the States. I tour with more people in Europe because there's just more money in Europe.
How do you mean?
Well, it's just I get paid better in Europe, so it's difficult to tour in the States and you know, and make a profit. So I just I tour solo.
Why do you think that is about the money?
I don't know. You know, I think one of the things that happens to someone like me here in the States is, you know, I am not squarely in a category of music. So I'm not really squarely jazz or pop or soul or blues or country. And in the States, I think that has hurt me from a marketing standpoint, whereas it doesn't seem to have in Europe.
Yeah, because
it's sort of like if I go to Europe, I get interviewed on a station that plays soul music. I get interviewed on a station that plays jazz. You know, I would never get interviewed on a straight-ahead jazz station in the States, unless I made a standards record.
Because they want everybody here seems to want their artists categorized.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of like in a way almost. You know, like, even though there's things I love about satellite radio, it's sort of that to the nth degree, you know, sort of like,
that's right.
You know, you tune in to something, you hear exactly what you expect to hear. It's sort of the way our society is. I mean, on the internet, people read the blogs that agree with them, and, you know, it's sort of a one big echo chamber.
Yeah, you get the jazz satellite station or the classical satellite station.
Yeah.
Or whatever. I think that would drive me nuts.
Well, I mean, that's one of the reasons why I think, you know, that's the case in the States. You know, for me anyway, it's because, you know, if you go to a record store or wherever those actually exist, you know, it's I can be in the R&B category, I can be in the jazz category, sometimes I'm in the world category, you know.
You're just, where you really need to be is in the Raul Midon category.
Yeah, well, that's a tough road to hoe.
Yeah, well, I was actually thinking over here, boy, if we're looking through you in our own collection, well, okay, which shelf would he be on?
There you go.
And so you're just on my shelf, and my shelf has
yeah,
all
mean,
kinds of
I
things.
As I said, in the States, because we are so commercially oriented in our thinking, you know, it's tougher. But it's, you know, I mean, I still play all over, but it's just, it's a different thing. In Europe, you know, I've played all the big festivals for years, you know, they don't seem to care so much about categories.
Well, I don't know how you would categorize this next tune, which is what we'll go out with here. If I just wrote down that it's kind of bluesy and upbeat, and I thought it was ironic title, which I assume you meant because it's such a great sounding tune. Why Am I Feeling So Bad?
Yeah.
From the Synthesis album,
you know, this is one of those. I guess there's a little tribute there to Bob Dylan in this one. You know, it's kind of and a little bit of you know, Travis picking guitar. There's a great style of guitar that started with a guitar player by the name of Merle Travers. And goes on with people like Chet Atkins, Lenny Bro. There's a guy named Thomas Emmanuel now that does it, and it's a sort of a way of playing stride piano type things on the guitar where you actually play the bass and then you play the chords, and it's the guy on Prairie Home Companion does it a lot too. Pat Donahue, I think, is his name. He's a pretty good Travis picker. So that this song has that in it as well.
Well, it's great to talk to you, and it's great to hear such a wonderful mix of music from you that people can experience quite up close at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts. They're presenting this in the ballroom with drinks and desserts, and they're calling it Cafe BCPA. It'll be Thursday night at 7:30. For more information, go to artsblooming.org, and you can get tickets and find out all the events going on there at the center. And it's really been a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Raul Midon, and this is called Why Am I Feeling So Bad on Live and Local.
And I'll be glad. Then I won't feel so bad.
Why Am I Feeling So Bad? It's Raul Midon performing here from his album called Synthesis, which is the most recent one, out in 2009. And he'll be at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts Thursday night. We'll have another tune of his in just a moment from an earlier album. Our program today on Live and Local is made possible, in part, by Krannert Center for the Performing Arts welcoming the Moscow Festival Ballet, January 24th, 25th, and 26th for enchanting performances of Swan Lake and The Sleeping Beauty. More information is available at krannertcenter.com. This is from Raul Midon's album called State of Mind, which is from 2005. And this is one of his own compositions, as nearly everything is that he does. It's called I Would Do Anything. Oh, wait, that's not the one I'm going to do here. Hold on a second here. It's called Sunshine and features Raul Midon on acoustic guitars and vocals, and Gregoire Marais on harmonica solo. Eric Rivas is the bassist, and Ciro Battista on percussion. It's, you know, before I put my foot in my mouth again here, it's actually, this is a combined composition, and I'm looking for all of the credits, which I am not exactly finding. So probably somebody out here knows where this really originated, but it seems to be a compositional collaboration here. Raul Midon from his album State of Mind on Live and Local.
Sunshine, when you're with me, I can fly. You are sunshine of my life. You're the one I want to be my wife. Hey!
Sunshine, I Can Fly, from the album called, I'm placing my CDs here, the album called State of Mind by Raul Midon. And I found all the info on the triple songwriters here, Raul Midon with Luis Vega and Albert Menendez. Sunshine, when you're with me, I can fly. Heard here on Live and Local on FM 90.9, as I mentioned earlier in an underwriting announcement, the Moscow Festival Ballet will be at the Krannert Center, actually is at the Krannert Center for 3 days, opened yesterday, I believe, with, let me get this straight here. 3 days starting tonight. Swan Lake tonight and tomorrow night, and then The Sleeping Beauty on Thursday night. Each performance starts at 7 o'clock. And here's one of the most famous pieces from either of those tunes. It's a waltz from Swan Lake with the Montreal Symphony Orchestra, conducted by a man who was just at the Krannert Center last weekend twice with the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra, Charles Dutoit. We'll be right back. famous waltz from the ballet Swan Lake by Tchaikovsky. The Montreal Symphony Orchestra was led by Charles Dutoit, and the Moscow Festival Ballet will be performing that work twice this week, tonight and tomorrow night, at the Kranert Center in Urbana. Here are some other events you can go see and hear live in our listening area. Tonight at 7:30 at the Kranert Center, the Illinois Brass Quintet, who are faculty members at the University of Illinois, are performing. Denise LaGrassa, who's a singer-songwriter, is going to be at the Doubletree in Bloomington this evening at 5 o'clock. Champaign-Urbana Sweet Adelines are having an open house at Grace Lutheran Church in Champaign tonight at 7 o'clock. The Sugar Prophets play the blues at Goodfellas in Pekin tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock. University of Illinois faculty pianist Reed Alexander performs at the Kranert Center in Urbana tomorrow night at 7:30. Donnie Heitler has his weekly solo jazz piano gig at the Great Impasta in Urbana tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock. It's the weekly traditional Irish music session at Bentley's Pub in Champaign tomorrow night at 7. Peoria Symphony Orchestra is presenting one of its occasional Banker's Hours programs. It's called Over Walls and Bridges at the GAR Hall in Peoria tomorrow at noon. It's Jimmy Bean and Jesse Francis playing acoustic guitar and violin, respectively, at Clark Bar in Champaign tomorrow night at 6:30. Sugar Prophets also going to be in Decatur Thursday. I should have mentioned that earlier. Thursday at Doherty's Pub. That's at 8 o'clock. Professor William Kinderman gives a piano recital Thursday evening at 7:30 at the Kranert Center. University of Illinois Jazz Combo, one of the many, will be at the Iron Post in Urbana Thursday night at 7. It's the Fake McCoys, with accompanied by Pipers and Dancers at Celtic Mist Pub in Springfield Thursday night at 7:30. And John Miller and the Romantics play Gypsy Jazz at Gracie's in Washington. And, you know, I think that's wrong. We've had that listing before, and that is a mistake. We need to remove that. Green Sky Bluegrass with Strange Arrangement and Chicago Farmer will be at the Canopy Club in Urbana Thursday night at 9 o'clock. And I'll be talking with a member of Green Sky Bluegrass on tomorrow's Live and Local. I'll also be talking with Stephen Larson, who's conductor of the Champaign-Urbana Symphony Orchestra, who are performing Saturday night at the Kranert Center. You're listening to 90.9 WYL FM and HD Urbana with translators W266 AF Urbana and W293 AF Danville, NPR, classical music, and more for Central Illinois. WYL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois, and we have support from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wines, beers, and spirits for the serious collector to the first-time buyer. Wine tastings are held on Saturdays from 3 to 6:30 p.m. in the Bouvon Wine Bar. More information is available at thecorkscrew.com. It's 33 degrees at a little bit after 1 o'clock. Coming up, it's the Writer's Almanac at 101 on 101.1 FM, and we'll go straight to classical music at that time. On 101.1, and then classical music for everybody at 106 p.m. Forecast calls for decreasing cloudiness this afternoon. High in the mid-30s, tonight becoming partly cloudy with a low of 22, and tomorrow mostly cloudy. Tomorrow afternoon, a chance of rain and sleet. Our high tomorrow, about 38 degrees.